And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again. I have been traveling all week long. Left Virginia on Monday, been in Mississippi, Colorado, now I'm in Florida, but I'm still with you. Sorry I couldn't be with you yesterday because I was on an airplane. And I could barely breathe on the airplane, let alone do my talk show, do the awakening from the airplane. Because as you know, they have cracked down everywhere. You know, this is what, folks, would somebody please help me to understand this? Well, I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek because I think we know what the game is. It's not about COVID. But vaccines are being distributed. Rates generally are dropping significantly. And yet, in some ways, the crackdown seems to be even more draconian. We have Fauci telling us that, well, don't think because you got the vaccine that that changes anything. In fact, I've heard them saying that you can gather in your home with more people once you've had the vaccine, but you still want to social distance. None of this hugging now. No, we can't have that. And if you're going to sit together at dinner, probably better to have each person sitting in a different room. Well, yeah, but, well, what is the point of the vaccine then? What is the point if everything remains the same? So I'm traveling, of course, and, you know, there are people walking around, you know, your mask is not over your nose. You have to put your mask on your nose. So I go into the lounge of a particular airline, and I won't bother to name the airline for you because they're probably all doing the same thing. And they actually have people walking around looking at people because, folks, and I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you this is exactly what they are saying. And I thought this was only the nutcases in California that were doing this. This is exactly what they were saying. You are required to put your mask on between bites of your food and sips of your drink. No, folks, seriously, I am not exaggerating. That is what they're telling people on the airline. That is what they're telling people in the lounge. Put your mask on between bites. You take a bite of food, you put your mask on. When you finish chewing that, you can take your mask off. Try to slip a bite of food in or slip a drink in, and then you put your mask back on. And they've got people doing jack-in-the-box. Mask up, mask down, mask up, mask down, mask up. And then they catch you. Wait, you, over there, you. You're chewing, but you're not putting food in your mouth right now. Where's your mask should be up above your mouth and nose. It was just, and you could tell people were disgusted by it. I mean, you could you can see the looks on people's faces as somebody approaches them in the lounge, for example, and says, gentlemen, you are required to wear your mask between bites. You are required to put your mask up between sips. They just think, what is wrong with these people? But here again, I think this appeals, frankly, to some people who just love that sense of control. Now, you know, I looked at the numbers again. And look, we know, and I don't say this glibly or as a throwaway line, just to sort of as a preface to other things, because it's real. We know that a lot of people have died from this disease, particularly the people who are elderly in their 80s, people with comorbidities, with serious illnesses. This disease can be a precipitating factor that puts them over the edge. We know that. And none of us dismisses that blithely. We also know that the numbers have been inflated because when you including people with motorcycle accidents and including people with heart attacks, including people with aneurysms, and then you find during the autopsy that the person also had COVID, then that now is counted as a COVID death. But you know what? Leave that aside. Let's just take their numbers, the numbers of the CDC. And they're saying 500,000 Americans have died from COVID. So let's just assume that that's a absolutely accurate number. Folks, do you realize that that is 1/6 of 1% of the American population? I mean, not 1%, not 10%. 1/6 of 1% of the American population. That's what that amounts to. Now, here again, every death is tragic. We know that. But we're dealing with the broad impact of this on the entire country. And when you realize 1/6 of 1% of the American people have actually, that the medical community tells us now, has died from COVID. And they tell us, of course, that about 2.8 million people have contracted the disease. Do you realize, folks, that that's less than 1%? Now, wait a minute. Less than 1% have had it. According, again, to every measure we're being given, less than 1% have had it. Do you think when you hear that statistic a year into this pandemic, that that justifies the closure of businesses that will never reopen, the loss of jobs that people will never get back, the decimation of the economy that is going to take a long time to recover from, because you've got a whole year basically of lost opportunity. I mean, you've got businesses that haven't that will recover perhaps, but they haven't been able to generate any significant revenue for an entire year. The closure of schools for an entire year and the educational deficit that that places upon our children. I mean, do you think that the data I just cited justifies all that? And in my view, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think that the response to this disease has been worse than the disease itself, because I believe it has had a more devastating impact and probably more long-term impact than the disease itself will have. Not to mention all the mental health issues that we now are beginning to see in our children who have been kept at home and isolated. The ones who apparently are the least vulnerable to it, the least likely to contract it, and the least likely to spread it, they're the ones who we're now seeing all kinds of mental illness arising as a result of the isolation from their friends, their family. They can't see their grandparents. They can't go out. They can't go to school. I mean, yeah, folks, this stuff is just, it is off the charts, and it's really time to stop. It's just time to stop and to start moving our country towards some semblance of normalcy and having people walking around a lounge, basically accosting people because you didn't cover your mouth between bites. And I'm not exaggerating, folks. That is exactly what they were doing. It's preposterous. I mean, it's ridiculous. You would think that if anybody in that lounge or anybody on that airline contracts the disease, we're all going to die. But 1/6 of 1% in a year's time have actually passed away. Here again, assuming that those numbers are not inflated, and I believe they are. But let's just assume for argument that they're not inflated, they're accurate. Folks, I'm in Florida right now, and Florida has at least avoided the mandates. Mississippi's followed suit. Texas is now doing the same thing. It really is just time to end this madness and let the American people decide for themselves what is best for the health of their families and their own individual lives. Stand by.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Over the last two decades, Christian Smith has helped us understand what is in the heads and hearts of young people. He is the co-author of such books as Soul Searching, Souls in Transition, and Lost in Transition. In his books, he coined the now famous term moralistic therapeutic deism. The term came up in a discussion on my radio program with Kara Powell about her book Growing Young. She and her co-authors have identified a number of strategies that will attract young people to your church. The term moralistic therapeutic deism came up in the discussion because it is a good way to identify the beliefs of so many youths and young adults. It includes five key points. Number one, a God exists who created and ordered the world and watches over human life on earth. Number two, God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to each other, as taught in the Bible and by most other religions. Number three, the central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. Number four, God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life, except when God is needed to resolve a problem. And fifth and finally, good people go to heaven when they die. Well, as you can see, this viewpoint is not exactly Orthodox Christianity, and it certainly does not encompass the gospel. Instead, young people want to be moral and also believe in a God who is removed from their daily lives. An important question is whether this moralistic therapeutic deism viewpoint in the heads of young people because of bad theological teaching or poor listening. The authors of Growing Young argue that it is probably both. Sometimes pastors have not taught good theology, but we also must admit that most young people today are captive to the culture. That is why we must work harder to teach a biblical worldview to adults and youth. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
Christians, they're suffering big time in Africa, and they need our help. Hi, this is Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and Pastor Lumo ministers in Mozambique near the Indian Ocean. He's been beaten in jail, not for what he believes, but for how he lives out his faith. You see, Lumo has been quietly and faithfully sharing the gospel with Muslims, and many have come to Christ in recent months. But extremists here, they have assaulted him, his family, and many in his church. But you know what? They're not asking for an end to the persecution they face. They're praying for Bibles to open and read every day in order to be able to endure and persevere as new followers of Christ. Hey, give thanks if your pastor hasn't been beaten in jail, but please don't turn a deaf ear to these pleas for Bibles. Instead, help support the church in Africa by sending a Bible to these waiting Christians at only $5 a Bible, or $100 sends 20. Call 800-YES-WORD, 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 or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, and God bless you for caring.
Brian Fisher here. Big tech censors Donald Trump for the umpteenth time. Guess who's standing up for the wretched voting deform bill? Joe Biden is setting records for going the longest time without taking questions from the press. Stanford decides it's not done playing footsie with communist China. And how much of the COVID relief bill goes to COVID? Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
This is First Amendment Friday. That means the lines are going to open up early for you to get your questions, comments, your input. I want to hear what you have to say and what you think about all this stuff that's going on in our country. Don't forget, folks, the podcast is there for your use and convenience to share with your friends, to go back and check out programs that you might have missed, or to hear again something that you thought was really good and you want to hear that again. All you've got to do is go to AFR.net, click on, in fact, you'll see it right there on the home page, the podcast, and usually programs go up within a couple of hours after they have aired. So please check out The Awakening. It helps us to know how much you're engaged with the program. I mean, we know you're out there listening. We can tell that from the calls coming in, but that gives us a way of actually measuring it. So it's very helpful to us. We'd appreciate it if you do that. Now, let's see. There's so much to talk about that we're not going to get it all in. So I'm going to count on you all to bring up some of the topics that we ought to talk about. I'll hit a couple of highlights. I read an article just this morning, wasn't planning to talk about this, but it hit me this morning when I read it in New Yorker magazine. And basically, the article is entitled, Wasting of the Evangelical Mind. Yeah, and you know what it says? All the problems in America are caused by evangelicals because we're anti-intellectual. And because we don't think. Therefore, we're subject to conspiracy theories and we're subject to denials of science, and we're subject to all kinds of things because we devalue the intellect. Yeah, that's what New Yorker thinks of Christians. They think that, in fact, look, one author that they're quoting in the book says, quote, when Christians turn to their intellectual resources for dealing with matters, they find the cupboard nearly bare. Yeah. In other words, we're stupid. We don't think. We don't have minds. We don't have intellects. We don't think about these issues. We're just subject to, you know, the whims and the fancies of conspiratorial theories and all kinds of crazy stuff. I just talked to a friend of mine. Well, actually, we were texting back and forth as I was traveling yesterday. And a loved one had gone into the hospital, and the hospital had misdiagnosed the situation, right? And frankly, had their loved ones not stepped in and said, look, we're not satisfied. We're taking our loved one out of the hospital, out of this hospital. We're putting them in another hospital. We want to talk to somebody else. We're questioning this. Had that not happened, their loved one likely would have died. Now, see, they misunderstand us as Christians altogether. We don't disregard science. We don't disregard medicine. But because we believe in God, who is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-wise, we don't trust these human so-called professionals as if they were God and are infallible and perfect. We are skeptical of them. We are skeptical of vaccines. It's not that we think they're of no use. I mean, vaccines have done a lot of good for this world. Those vaccines have been developed mainly in the United States of America. We've been the beneficiaries of them. But the point is we don't turn off our ability to discern. We don't turn off our godly wisdom just because somebody says, I've got an MD behind my name. Oh, well, then whatever you say. I mean, the very thing they accuse us of doing when we're following figures like Rush Limbaugh or people are following President Donald Trump, they accuse us of turning our minds off and just like lemmings listening to whatever anybody says without giving us credit, as Christians, credit for having come to our own conclusions and simply following and supporting people because they reflect our values. So now they're accusing us, though, when it comes to these issues of pretty much anything, of just being subject to anything that anybody says. You got a theory. Oh, okay, yes, I'll buy that. When in fact, it's exactly the opposite. I think Christians tend to be more skeptical of so-called experts in general than the general population, because we know the fallibility of human beings. And we know that human beings simply can't be trusted to just always be right. So I just gave you one example. And I said, that's why we don't put our trust in medicine and doctors and hospitals. We use them in their proper perspective, but we don't put our absolute trust in them because they can be very, very wrong. And when they're very, very wrong and nobody questions them, people die. But you got this is indicative of what they think of Christians and Christianity. It's a very, very sad commentary that these leftists have now basically taken the position that either you are a Christian or you're smart. I mean, because that's what it boils down to. Either you are a Christian or you're smart. If you're a Christian, you can't possibly be smart. Because if you were smart, you wouldn't be a Christian. You wouldn't believe in God. You know, let me open up the lines now and start trying to take some of your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'll slip some of your calls in here while I'm talking about this. A judge dismissed a transgender woman's discrimination suit against the Miss USA pageant, saying a transgender should be allowed to join it. And the judge says, not so fast. But you know what? That's where they're going. We're getting all kinds of reports as a result of this influx of immigrants. You know, at the crisis for President Donald Trump, I think it was 178 young people a day. Now it's 321, and they're saying it's not a crisis, it's a challenge. And now it was a crisis with President Donald Trump of half that number, and it was all his fault. And they were being caged and put in concentration camps. Now it's just a challenge. And we're putting them in the same facilities, but we're doing it with a different attitude. You know, we're looking at 5,000 young people crossing our borders a month now. That's just the young people, folks. We're not talking about the adults. Unaccompanied minors, 5,000 a month being just released into our population. This is the situation we are under with this administration. Look, H.R. 1 continues to barrel through, and it cannot be allowed to pass. It's just that plain and simple. If it passes, it will be one of the most disastrous things that ever happened to this country in terms of the integrity of our electoral system, A, and B, if allowed to continue, it would destroy the United States of America. It really would. It would destroy us. Because it would really turn us into a one-party state, ultimately, I really believe, a socialist state. I think that's where that's going. H.R. 1 and H.R. 5, by the way, which is the transgender deal, has to be stopped. But this is why, folks, I am very hopeful, because I think these nutcases are going to go so far that the average American, Democrat, Republican, and Independent is going to look at this and say, these people are going to run our country off the cliff. I mean, you let people who have tested positive with COVID across the border, but you don't want me to visit my grandchildren? I mean, how does that work? And you tell, after all of this stuff about how women are to be treated, you're going to let men compete against women? And one woman's already had her skull broken competing against a biological male who simply said, I'm now a woman. And yet we Christians are the dumb ones? I'll tell you, folks, we have a lot of work to do. Let's see. We have time for a call. Let's go to, let's go to Lynn in Arkansas. Lynn, welcome.
Hi. Yeah.
Hi, Lynn.
I was going to say, hi. You know what they do for people who are in bad shape and health-wise? They give them oxygen, put them on oxygen. So what are people lacking when they have this mask on? Oxygen. I can't even fathom the thought of having two or three of them on. And the other day I was talking to a lady who did have COVID, and she was wearing a mask afterwards, and she was having trouble breathing. And I just thought, you know, it's just crazy.
It is, Lynn. And this idea, which I thought was laughable, put the mask on between bites. Put the mask on between sips. I mean, it has just gone to such an extreme. And frankly, they can't prove that places where the masks are being used versus places where there's no mask mandate, that there's any difference in the COVID rates at all. So science doesn't even back this. And of course, Fauci, the fraud Fauci, with wear two masks. Well, why don't we wear 10 of them? I mean, why stop at two? Let's wear 10. I know one thing, you know, if you suffocate, you certainly won't get COVID. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Do you remember the parable of the three men who were given different amounts of talents? I want to bring it up to date just a little bit. Let's say that one man received $1,000, one man $2,000, and the other man $5,000. Now, let's look at them. What kind of person was the man who was given $1,000? He was the fellow who hid the sum in the ground, you recall. What kind of person was he? Well, he was the kind of person who would do nothing. It wasn't that he could not do anything, but that he would not. It wasn't a lack of resources that hindered him, but a selfish and negative attitude. He could have done lots of beneficial things with the amount he was given, but he did nothing. True, he wasn't given as much as the other two fellows, but he was given something. His problem was not that he wasn't given much, but that he refused to use what he'd been given. He failed to realize one of life's truest and most elementary principles, that what he had wasn't given to him to keep, but to use. Whatever talents, abilities, and wealth our Creator has given us, however small, have been given to us to use, not to keep to ourselves. This man was the type of person who never gives to a church, to the United Fund, or to any cause of common good. The members of his community could never count on his support in any worthwhile project. Why was it that he refused to use what he had been given? He answered that question. "I was afraid you would rob me of what I had earned," he said. You see, he was judging his master and other people by his own motives. That is what he personally would have done. He was afraid that someone else might benefit from his labors, and he wasn't for helping anyone else, even the one who helped him. Now, what kind of person was a man who was given $5,000? He represents that small number of people who have been given many talents and uses them wisely. Very few people can identify with him, but there are a few people who can do many things and excel in all of them. They are people of many talents, people who have been given much. Ever so often there comes along a Leonardo da Vinci, a person who can excel as an artist, a military engineer, scientist, and sculptor. He was a rare person, this $5,000 man, who could do many things and do them all equally well. Now finally, what kind of person was the $2,000 man? He was the type of person most of us can be. He didn't have much, but he was willing to use what he did have. He couldn't do everything, but he refused to do nothing. He wasn't willing to let his small amount keep him from making his contribution. The backbone of the good in the world depends on people like this $2,000 person. You see, he had learned that in life it isn't how much you have that counts, but what you do with what you have. The carpenter once said, "Give, and you shall receive." This man knew that by helping others, he helped himself. Use what you have, and it will increase. Don't use what you have. Hide it and hoard it, and you will lose it. So don't despair if you have only been given $2,000. That's all you are responsible for.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We're open for taking your calls. Let's go to Stan in Tennessee. Stan, welcome.
Amen, Brother Jackson. Amen. I got two quick comments. I can remember watching on television all before when this COVID stuff started a year and a half, whatever, ago. And I saw Fauci, and they interviewed him and said, "What about the COVID-19? His response was, this is not going to be a problem. It's not serious. We can handle this." And I remember watching him say mm-hmm. that. And another thing, you know, the president wants to criticize Texas and Mississippi, but then again, he's going to let 100-something people who test positive at the border just come on in and go wherever you want to. And to quote you, Brother Jackson, give me a break.
Right. Okay, Stan. Listen, that's not original to me, but you're right. It does apply. Give me a break. here again, it can't then possibly be about trying to help Americans stay free of COVID. It's got to be about something else. And again, that's something that it's about is power. Whatever it takes to get it, whatever it takes to keep it, if it meant bringing in a million people in here with COVID, if in the end it would mean that Democrats would get elected and would have, in effect, a one-party state, excuse me, I think they would happily do it. They justify it. Well, we're showing compassion. They're planning now to put children on a military base. And they were criticizing President Trump for using the same facilities they're using, and they called that a concentration camp and cages, and now they're going to put children on a military base. But now it's all with the right attitude and the right intentions. This stuff is just, it is unreal, folks. Let's go to John in Kansas. John, welcome.
Thank you, the right Reverend Dr. Bishop. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Yeah. Two comments, please. The first one is you were reading that article that said you could either be a Christian or an intellectual.
Right.
And of course, I'm an engineer with a master's degree, and I work for the state Department of Transportation. So I had a hand in a bunch of bridges over 20 years or more of the strength of the concrete. So every time you go over some bridges in Kansas, you might be going over one I had a hand in. So hopefully I did it right.
And you are a Christian who also has mastered engineering. How could that possibly be?
Yeah, that's a bit strange, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And here again, John, it just goes to show they are always accusing Christians and conservatives of being bigoted. And they're the biggest bigots on the planet because they have these stereotypes about people and they write these long articles. I mean, and the theory of the article is when you're a Christian and you believe in God, you're dumb and you can't grasp intellectual ideas. You can't grasp science because they just don't go together. All the scientists who gave us much of what modern science is built on were all pretty much believers. They believed in God. They believed that God created the universe. They believed that he created an orderly universe with laws that could be discovered. And now all of a sudden, oh, no, believing in God makes you anti-science.
Yeah, you said was perfectly right. Yeah, great, great scientist. A devout atheist, Anthony Flew, took a look at the DNA evidence that was coming available, and he changed the title of his book, There Is No God, to As There Is a God. And he called himself the most notorious. That's a great book for any people that say your belief in God is stupid.
Say the book again, John.
There Is a God. Anthony Flew, F-L-E-W, British.
F-L-E-W. Hey, John, thank you so much for the call. Very informative. Yeah. Appreciate it. God bless you, John. Have a great weekend. Let's go to Barry in Georgia. Barry, welcome.
Hello, Bishop. Thank you for your service and what you do.
Thank you, sir.
Pleasure to talk to you. I had just a couple of quick comments. Your comments about the number of deaths in the United States, and you're right, every life is precious. But you said 1/6 of 1% of the population has perished due to COVID-19. If you really drill down on those numbers and it's only COVID, that number is very small.
Yeah.
Most of the problems with COVID is comorbidities, heart disease, et cetera, lung issues, diabetes. So if you take all that away and actually look at what only COVID, people who died who only had COVID, that number is very, very small. And I just wanted to make that point. The second thing about the mass Nazis you were talking about at the airport, science has not proven that the mask actually works, but one thing science does say is keep your hands off your face and off your mask. So they're telling you to go against the science by putting it up and down, up and down, up and down.
Right. Because every time you
make those comments.
Those are excellent points, Barry. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate that. Exactly. I don't know how that works, that keep your hands away from your face, but put the mask on your face. I mean, right? I mean, come on, folks. That is kind of a contradiction in terms, isn't it? So thank you for pointing that out, Barry. Let's go to Rachel in Arkansas. Rachel, welcome.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. Fine. You?
Well, fine. Listen, I wanted to ask you about that guy that calls himself Rachel.
Right. Richard. Richard is his real name, but yes, I know you're talking about Richard Levine, Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services. Yes.
Why did he have to pick the name Rachel? That's my name, and I love it. And it's a Bible name.
Oh, Rachel, I'm sorry he messed up your name. But listen, if it's any consolation, he will always be Richard to me.
Yeah, really. But anyways, I was going to ask you, what happens if he has to use the restroom wherever he works, and Nancy Pelosi's working there, and she's powdering up her nose, and he walks in? Is she going to greet him like, "Hi, Rachel, how you doing?" I don't think so. I think she'd be mortified.
Now, listen, Rachel, you are plumbing the depths of minds that I don't think I can quite fathom. How the thinking of these people is so twisted that it's hard to know how should we react, whether they're going to exchange makeup shades or whether she will recommend him to her hairdresser or whether she will have security come in and haul Richard away. Who knows what Nancy Pelosi is going to do? I don't know whether Nancy Pelosi knows what she's going to do. But Rachel, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Ron. Do we have time for Ron?
Hello.
Ron in West Virginia. Ron, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be able to have the opportunity. And first of all, I'd just like to start out by thanking you that your station is providing one of the few resources that has the fortitude to actually mention some of the things that are being mentioned here. Mm-hmm. And providing it as a forum of open discussion. This mask issue, I'm personally a non-masker. I'm 70 years old. And I've seen in the past year, I mean, there used to be the non-maskers and maskers, maybe 50-50, now 40-60. I'll go into a store and I'll be the only one there. Mm-hmm. And I've been told to leave already, and I just put my hand up right now. No.
Wow.
I will not submit. I will not comply.
Wow, Ron, thank you so much for the call. Boy, that could be a mantra, couldn't it? I will not submit. I will not comply. Folks, stand by. We're coming back with more of your calls.
Come on, man.
It's a no-brainer. Men go to the men's restrooms and women go to the women's. But that's not how President Biden sees it. He issued an executive order allowing men to go into women's restrooms, effectively putting women and children in danger. This order includes any public high school and university that receives federal funding.
Come on, man.
Act now. Send an email to President Biden and tell him, "Come on, man, protect our women and children from predators." Just go to afa.net. afa.net.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training. Here's another of our core values. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager. Thank you for standing with AFA as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, "A little bit, but I've been through worse."
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing In Christ Alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
It's more vulnerable, and it also takes intention.
Erin Smalley on Focus on the Family Minute, explaining why you may not share your deep personal feelings with your spouse.
And I think we don't understand that when we're dating and we're engaged, we are doing that naturally because we're so locked in and focused. And then we train each other that, well, maybe it's not so safe to go to those deep places.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's going to lead to conflict and disconnection. One of the number one human needs that we have is we long to be known and to be valued and connected. And so it's vulnerable. There's a lot at risk. And so to recognize that if we build this safe place in our marriage, that we can intentionally go there. And the awareness of we need to intentionally go there. We sure did it all the time as we pursued each other wholeheartedly. There is no autopilot. We've got to continue to pursue each other at that level.
More from Erin at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And the number, folks, is 888-589-8840. It's First Amendment Friday. We've got some lines open, so give us a call. What do you think about the craziness that's going on in our country today? 888-589-8840. Or maybe you've got a good story to tell. Maybe you've got something uplifting and encouraging to tell. I heard Katie McFarlane, who was accosted by the FBI, and you know who she was, former national security advisor for the president, accosted by the FBI, run through the ringer. And I just heard her speak not too long ago, and she said, I am absolutely undaunted. We are going to fight until we win and take our country back. And I said to the group that was there, if she can be committed after having had her savings wiped out, having been threatened with imprisonment, what in the world is our excuse? So we're going to fight on. 888-589-8840 is the number. And let me remind everybody that, let's see. Oh, by the way, yes. For all of our Florida listeners, I will be preaching at Liberty Church in Orlando, Florida. Liberty Church in Orlando, Florida at 455 Maitland Boulevard in Orlando. 455 Maitland Boulevard. 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. So if you're in the Florida area or anywhere nearby and you want to stop by and see me, come on by. I'd love to meet you. Love to have a chance to talk to you. I'll be preaching the gospel there this weekend. Again, the number 888-589-8840. Let's come right back to your calls. Let's go to, let's see, Angela in Oklahoma. Angela, welcome.
Hello, Mr. Jackson. How are you?
I am great, Angela. How are you?
I'm very blessed, thank you.
Amen.
I was just calling. I had a comment on the people in Texas, you know, like the lady has a one-year-old baby and the Mexicans are coming across their property. I think if
yes
each and every one of the property owners got together, build like a 10 to 12-foot electric fence and then put the barbed wire at the top of it, I think that'll make it a whole lot harder for them to get on their property.
Well, you know what, Angela, for people who, like these leftists, these Democrats who claim the wall doesn't work, the wall is bad, they don't seem to have any problem with building a wall when it comes to their security, do they? I mean, they've got a wall around the Capitol now, even though there's no indication that anything such thing is needed. They've got walls around their own homes to keep out anybody they don't want coming in. And you're right, maybe people have to take it upon themselves to build their own walls to protect their own property. I mean, it's a sad situation. And here again, what troubles me most about this, Angela, is these people are supposed, I mean, these people, meaning the politicians in Washington, D.C., are supposed to be looking out for the American people. That's their job. That's their sworn duty. They seem to be much more interested in doing things for others to the detriment of Americans, which is, it's just kind of, here again, if you don't understand what they're doing, it doesn't make any sense. You think, why would they do that? Well, because they're doing what they think will enhance their power. And remember, they don't care about working class Americans, particularly, you all forgive me, this is their language, not mine, particularly if they happen to be white. They don't care about them. They only care about whatever they define as people of color or the poor or what have you, whatever the constituency of victims is that they think will help them to get into power, get into office, and then stay there forever. And everybody else, get out of the way, because they'll run you down, they'll roll right over top of you trying to get to the seat of power that they're looking for. So you're right. If people have to build their own walls, they better start doing it, because if they expect these leftists in Washington, D.C. to do it, they'll do everything in their power, in fact, to stop them from doing it and stop them protecting the safety and security of their own homes and families. Thank you for the call, Angela. Let's go to Dickie in Georgia. Dickie, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Bishop?
I'm great, Dickie. How are you?
I'm doing good. I got a good solution for our problem. If we just split the United States in half and we have our own government, let them have theirs, we see who caves in first.
Yeah, well, Dickie, listen, I don't think, brother, that's going to happen without something that none of us wants to happen. So my hope is that we can defeat the bad ideas of the left, convince enough Americans, young people, minority people, people of all stripes, wealthy, middle income, poor, that what the left has in mind for our country is nothing but a glorified form of slavery. They may call it socialism, collectivism, identity politics, but it's nothing but a glorified form of slavery for all of us. You know, these people are talking about Christians aren't intellectuals and all of that. Well, guess who the communists kill first? They kill in addition to Christians, but they also kill the intellectuals, because what they do is they kill anybody who they think is a threat to them. And that's what every communist regime has done, every single one of them. So I don't want to see us split the country. I got a better idea, which is all these people with all these socialist ideas and all this hatred for America, if they would just voluntarily go somewhere else, it would just be so wonderful for the rest of us who love the country and know we have problems, sure. And we want to be a better country, absolutely. But we fundamentally love our country and what it stands for. And we just want to help make it better. These people want to rip it apart, tear it apart, and then rebuild something in their own Marxist image. So no, thank you. So Dickie, let's try to hold the country together and deal with the bad ideas that are trying to separate us, rather than trying to create two geographical regions. That's what almost happened during the Civil War. And I think there would have been no United States of America, the greatest nation on earth, if that had happened as we know it. And so I don't think it's the solution for the future. Let's go to Joshua in Arkansas. Joshua, welcome.
Yes, good afternoon, brother.
Good afternoon.
I was just calling. I was wanting to urge all the brothers and sisters out there to listen to that still small voice and the unction of the Lord, that Holy Spirit guiding you through these times. Those little things, you know, he tells us in the Word that the devil is the most subtle of all the creatures. Well, those subtleties are a lot of the things that we don't have our eyes on. You know, even with this whole transgender garbage, something that I looked up a while back was BPA that you see on baby bottles, BPA-free. Well, it mimics estrogen in the human body. And it's in plastic to strengthen plastic. But you know, even along the lines of the border situation, you know, I agree that cartel running our neighbor's country and coming through the borders is a definite problem. But last year I was in Washington, D.C., flew out to Dulles Airport, and it really blew my mind that the whole airport was run by people from India in our nation's capital. And how they said, well, we've got to bring these people in because they're educated. But, you know, you ask yourself, why are the government having these programs to help these people in? But they're from a country that's used to submitting to a corrupt government, and they'll keep their mouth shut. Whenever that way they can do whatever they want to.
Wow. Joshua, thank you so much for the call. So Joshua, let me just say this about what you just said, because here again, I know people can misinterpret. I agree entirely with what Joshua said, but it's not because I'm against Indian people. It's not because I think there's something wrong with them or they're bad people. Or whenever I see these situations that Joshua just referred to, I ask the same question of myself. Are there no Americans who can do these jobs? Are there no Americans who could do this work? I mean, why are we bringing people in from outside our country? We've never had 100% employment. So aren't there people out there who need these jobs? But unfortunately, we've got a lot of the corporate world and apparently some elements of the deep state that somehow think that Americans aren't capable of these jobs. Of course, they put us in a terrible education system, and then we don't meet the standards that they set, and then they go out and get outsiders. And you're right. See, the problem is, Joshua's raising is this. America does have our own distinct culture, and it is not African, it is not Irish, it is not Italian, it is not German. It is an amalgamation of cultures that makes us uniquely American. And when you bring in large numbers of people without any kind of assimilation who really want to be part of their old nation and come here to just make the most of economic opportunity as opposed to wanting to be Americans and part of American culture, you undermine the culture that makes us who we are. It's not against people on the basis of the color of their skin or anything else. It's for America and its preservation that we raise questions about the nature of this, the whole immigration process, illegal immigration and all of it, and how we ought to control it. Okay, I think I've got time for one more. Or do I? No, actually, I don't think I do. Okay, one more. Who is that? Is that Wayne? Wayne. Okay, Wayne, you're on.
This is Wayne in Tennessee, and Dr. Bishop, we have a lot of freedom in this country. I live here in an Amish community and away from Nashville, and people are not wearing masks. If most of us would simply not wear masks and do what we believe was right personally, these people would turn over. They cannot make all of us wear masks. The Amish, they go to a store and say, "Why aren't you wearing the Amish man told people, the person, he said, "I have CS," and later on someone else asked him in the store, "You said CS, what's that?" Common sense.
Okay, Wayne, there's the closing moment right there. There is the closing moment. Folks, look, I mean, Wayne is right. And you know, maybe some of us are wrong. I wear a mask because I don't want my neighbor to feel I don't care about their health and well-being. And I don't want to be a person who just ends up creating a scene, and I gotta fly too. So, but I will be glad when this whole mess is over. I'll put it that way. However it ends, as long as it's peacefully, I'll be glad when it's over. In the meantime, remember folks, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.